Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
This show is brought to you by DAX Sports Services. On today's edition of Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, I'll be taking you to the Windy City as we welcome in Vincent Goodwill. That's right, it's time to get ready for Hoop Talk and lots more. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag Listen In with KNN.
Looking for winning sports picks and predictions? Since 1971, Dot Sports has been recognized as one of the most trusted names in the sports handicapping industry. For the listeners of this very show, Dot Sports is giving out $60 worth of their premium member picks for free. These are the exact same premium member picks that 1,000 of their current members pay for. And guess what? You get them for free. Just text the word radio to the number 29022. Text radio to the number 29022 for instant access. Doc Sports also provides free picks on every single game. You want NBA picks? Simply Google search Doc's NBA picks. NHL picks? Google search Doc's NHL picks. Need MLB picks? Google search Doc's MLB picks. Remember to text the word radio to the number 29022 and start winning today with Doc Sports Service.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond. It's now time to welcome in Chicago Bulls insider for NBC Sports Chicago, Mr. Vincent Goodwill. Vincent, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm wonderful. Anytime I get to welcome in a big timer like you to the show, I'm in good spirits.
Oh, stop it.
We do. We have royalty in the building. Vincent, it seems like we met at NABJ. In Detroit, yes. Which I know is your town. I don't even, it seems like it was so long ago, but one thing I have to bring up, before we go any further, I have to say rest in peace to the queen of soul, Miss Aretha Franklin. I know Detroit is really home for you. I mean, how do you feel just hearing her passing, and what do you think people should most know about her and her connection to Detroit?
Well, I think the first thing you said, you know, it's almost like she was given an extra lease on life. Because mm-hmm. we knew sort of about that there was something health-wise going on about 6 or 7 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer than that. There were rumors that it was pancreatic cancer, but we really weren't sure because she was so private about, you know, certain details about it, like we really didn't know. So, you know, Basically over the past year, you know, when she stopped performing on doctor's orders and she was saying some cryptic things publicly, saying, pray for me and everything else, you know, we start to understand, like, look, you know, she's 75 years old, 76 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to, you know, almost accept the reality of it. But So when it happened, you know, or at least when the rumors came out maybe a couple of days before, you really weren't sure if it was true or not, but it seemed to be a little bit more real. So once it happened, it was almost like a point of like instant reflection, you know, whereas for, I guess, the America at large, it kind of seemed like, okay, they lost the icon. You know, from a different era, you know, someone grandmotherly in that type of way. Mm-hmm. But for us in Detroit, we know her as Riri.
Yeah, you know, I love that. Yeah.
We know her as the person that we could see, you know, in the grocery stores every now and again, mm-hmm. or someone who could be not just the queen of soul, but the queen of shade with some of her various situations through the years. So it's really, I will say it's weird, but I will say, you know, we talk about a lot of voices musically and everything like that, but I will say just the quality of her voice. I can't say that there's anybody as an artist or even just as a voice that ranks up there with her. It's her and then it's everybody else. And as a lightweight joke, my friend Jay Adonde, who I guess still works for ESPN, he says, we need to hire an armored guard around Stevie Wonder 24/7 now because he's all we have left.
Yes, he's all we have. He's a national treasure right now. I mean, we need Stevie. And Aretha, I love what you said about me. No voice can compare to what she did. And I like what you said. I mean, she was just an everyday woman. As you said, you could see her in the grocery stores and things like that. And I feel like that's what really made her our sweetheart. And I think that's why her death touched so many of us and why we were all so sad to lose someone so special, not just to music, but I think to history and just with the things that she's done. So rest in peace to the Queen of Soul. I do have to ask you real quick. I don't usually like to bring in pop culture, but since she's still trending, that's because we love her. The VMAs, that just happened. I know Madonna got a lot of flack. Hug for her little, it's weird. So like I was reading about it and said, Madonna was like, well, you know, I really wasn't going to do it. But then they asked me to mention her since she has connections to Detroit with her being from there. And she was like, well, I was just supposed to present the Video Music of the Year Award. So did you actually see Madonna's speech at all?
I did. I didn't see the speech in its entirety, and I'm glad I didn't see the speech in its entirety.
Yeah, you're lucky. You're lucky.
But when I got, when you started seeing, Twitter and people saying, get her off the stage now.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I was like, okay, let me go and see what she's talking about. And they're like, wait, isn't this supposed to be a tribute to Aretha Franklin? And she kept saying, I.
Oh, poor Madonna. Yeah. I was so confused. I was really trying to give her a chance. I was like, I'm not really one of those Twitter people, but it just made no sense. And I understand she wanted to put herself in it, but as somebody said, they counted. She said she talked about herself 72 times. I don't care what anyone says. No one should mention themselves that much in any speech. And I think it's just unfortunate. And with the timing of it, that's not how you want the Queen of Soul to be remembered on such a big platform. So, Madonna, I love her, but
The thing, the problem is that, A, you're asking the VMAs to do something on, 3 days notice. And B, they've never been, unfortunately, unfortunately, Black music can only be dependent on Black music for this type of thing. I have my quarrels with BET on a number of levels and on how they do things and everything else. But I can say, that's the thing that we look forward to. If something has happened, we're going to look to the BET Awards of, in reasonable time. Say, okay, let's see what they do with this. Let's see who, they put together, because we can't depend on, the mainstream to give it to certain, we can't count on them to give it the sort of appropriateness that we can. So the VMAs and Madonna, and I feel like Madonna did that after Michael Jackson died. I feel like Madonna did that after, name a person, Madonna finds a way to turn something
she's
into
always
Madonna.
She's always there.
She's like a nuclear roach.
Oh my gosh, yes. And it's like, Madonna, we love you, but no, you can't do it. You can't do it. So I'm going to forgive her for that one. I think it was wrong, but let's hope, as you said, I hope someone gets it right, because she deserves a proper
Absolutely.
Tribute.
Absolutely.
And hopefully it happens sometime soon. But Vincent, I have you on. We have to talk sports. I always like to start it off by doing a dig in the D&D segment, since this is the hometown. Last week we got to talk about, I'm sure, a guy that you know pretty well, Dwight Howard, and how we think he's going to fare in Washington. But the big news this week in the DMV is Adrian Peterson to the Washington Redskins. I know you're a basketball guy. The DMV is going crazy to have a future Hall of Famer here in Washington. You first heard this news. What were you thinking, Vincent?
You know what? I was thinking it would be just like the R's to sign a guy well past his prime.
Oh, now you're one of those.
What you mean, one of those? That's the truth.
Vincent. I have hope. I want the 2012 MVP, Adrian Peterson.
That sounds good. Put it like this. You ever met a fine dude in 2012 and you saw him 6 years later and he wasn't fine no more? That might be the case.
That is true, though.
That might be the case. That's like the person, for me, that's like the woman you saw in high school, or the girl you saw in high school, and she was fine, and she was a couple years older. And he was like, you know what? If I run into her years down the line, and then you run into her years down the line, and you're like, yes, I don't know.
You'll be running the opposite way.
if Adrian Peterson was that good still, and I'm sure he's a workout warrior, right? I'm sure it all looks the same. But 3.1 yards a carry last year, couldn't cut it in New Orleans, went to Arizona, played a little bit better. But I think the all-day Adrian Peterson that we've come to know and marvel at, I think he's gone. And I think the Flyers are going to basically realize that in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. And honestly, you're honest. You're honestly right. I had to be my sarcastic self. And I had to give hope to the fans. But, yes, he is 33. And he's not the old Adrian Peterson that we knew and loved with the Vikings. You said how his stats went down. We like AP. I know the Redskins are suffering after they lost Darius Geis, but I don't know if it was the right move. But, you know, he's going to play Friday, and we're going to see what he still has in the tank. I mean, nothing's guaranteed until September 1st. So I think it's good the Redskins are at least trying to give the fans something, letting us know, you know what, we're not giving up at the running back position. But, yeah, we're not going to get old AP. But he sure is fun. He said people that think he's done don't know football. Talking about his age, so he threw a little shade at everyone that thinks he's done.
Well,
you know.
You tell me what 33-year-old running back is.
That list
ain't quite long. Okay.
Yeah, and remember we went through this with the Saints before. Everyone was excited when he went to New Orleans, and the next thing we know, midway through the season, what happened? He was cut. I mean,
right.
it's happening again. I think here in DC, so I think we're excited, and then. If he does get signed and stays on the team, then we might be excited and something happens and he's not the only team that we thought he would be. That's all you can say. That's all you can say. All right. I've had enough Adrian Peterson because I'm not going to feed into the hype. Biggest news in sports. We do have to talk basketball, Vincent. Klay Thompson. Everyone's talking about Klay Thompson and his future in Golden State. Of course, you know, they have this superstar mega team, but everyone's asking how are they going to keep all of them together and still pay them their fair share. Thompson, 28, he's going to be entering the final season of his 4-year, $69 million deal. He's set to make $19 million during this season. Now, he said in interviews that he wants to stay a Warrior. His dad also believes he will stay with the Golden State Warriors. I mean, do you see this actually happening, Vincent? Is this actually going to happen? Are the Warriors going to find out some crazy way to keep Klay Thompson and the rest of the gang together?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think that he's the maintenance type of guy that wants to, you know, that just has to go to L.A. or that just has to go to New York and has to put himself in that position. Like, I think he strikes me as the type that likes being the star, but likes being a star, but not necessarily the star. And I think there's a difference there in terms of expectation, in terms of some guys just like being left alone. Like, it's to me, it's kind of funny where, you know, Klay is basically the type that he runs around, he gets open shots, he defends, he does all the little things that, you know, people don't want to do. And he goes home to his dog. Like, he's not that guy.
Yes. His Instagram is full of his dog.
Yeah. Like he's not the guy that's going to seek out a lot of that attention. And I think he likes playing with Stephen Curry. I think he likes playing with Draymond Green and playing in that situation. And some guys like winning, you know, above everything else. So I would not be surprised if, you know, he took less than, you know, a Supermax or, you know, something like that to try to figure out a way to keep, you know, all these guys together. I mean, I think it's unfair to ask anybody to take a discount. You know, I think you got to get whatever money you can while you can. I don't care how big it is because once you're done, you're done. But I think, you know, they in Golden State, they kind of understand the sensibilities that, you know, that Klay has. And, you know, he's a chill type of dude. He just likes going and playing basketball and being left alone.
Right. He just does his job. And then, like you said, he goes back home. And I think that's what makes Klay different. And as you said, I don't think he wants to leave Steph, right? We've gotten used to the Splash Brothers. And now you added KD. I mean, it's just like they have everyone. They have Draymond. I mean, they literally have the team that you want to be on. And who doesn't want to possibly keep winning more championships, which you have an opportunity to do in Golden State? But, of course, I'm kind of like you. I'd say get the money. I mean, he has the championships. I would love to see him stay in Golden State. And if they can make it work, I'm telling you, honestly, Vincent, Golden State needs to write a book when this is all said and done about just the exact details about how they were honestly able to keep this team together. But I think for basketball, I kind of would like to see him leave. I think it would shake things up in the NBA, make things a little bit more interesting, especially if he went to another team.
And you know what? I get that. I guess it would just more so depend on, you know, where he goes. Like, for me, I look at this stage, and it separates the people who are really trying and the people who are faking. Like, you have to load up if you're the Lakers or if you're Houston. You know, I don't think the Melo stuff is going to work. Like, you can't fake trying to be a contender now. Like, Golden State is basically pushing all their chips to the center of the table. They're like, we got the second best player in the game and the third best player in the game. And we're trying to keep all our guys, and we're getting Boogie Cousins. So if you want us, you really got to come and get us. And I admire that, because I think a lot of times Kelce teams fake trying to contend, but they don't use all their resources. They put all the onus, you know, on the players to overperform without giving them, you know, the type of team that they need. And in this case, if you want Golden State, they're letting you know. Like, they're like Death Row in the 90s or Bad Boy in the 90s. Like,
But I feel like as a player, right, you could be an Anthony Davis making good money in New Orleans and knowing you're not going to do anything. Or are you a player, right, like a Klay Thompson, where you know you might not be making the AD money, but you're still making good money with a solid team that can get you championships, and you'll be talked about later on down the road. But I mean, we talked about free agency. He could make up to $139 million over 4 years as a free agent. That's a lot of money. And money talks, Vincent. Money talks. But I just
I think we all operate in a world in which maybe not the biggest paycheck wins, but usually that's kind of the case where, you know, money, like you said, not only money does money talk, but, you know, I do think that players are getting to the phase where even though money does talk, they're asking teams, what else are you doing here? Like, what else are you doing as far as surrounding this, you know, surrounding me with a team with, you know, not just that, but also how can you help my quality of life with, you know, basketball stress and life stress and everything else? Like, what type of environment can you provide for me, you know, every day? And I think to a large degree, Golden State provides an environment to someone who's no nonsense like Klay, to where he doesn't, I won't say the fear of the unknown, but the thought of the unknown isn't worth him actually going out there and having to endure some of that stuff. So even if that costs him, you know, a few dollars here and there, I think he'll take peace of mind.
I mean, I would take peace of mind any day. I think that's why we saw Boogie Cousins go to the Warriors. And when we heard the number that he signed for, we all thought it was crazy. But when you really think about it and you think about the environment that Boogie has been in, I think Boogie is sick and tired of that. Why not join a championship-worthy squad with players that, you know, are putting their all on the court each and every day and want to win? And I think this will honestly help Boogie down the line and kind of change his reputation, because I think he's a good guy. He has a bad rep in the NBA, but I think this is the right team for him. And then we talked about Klay Thompson, and to break down numbers so people really understand it more. So the Athletic's Marcus Thompson reported earlier on that the Warriors had conversations with Thompson about an extension starting at $23 million a year. If you do the math, that would come out to roughly a four-year contract for $92 million extension. That is still a lot of money, too. But then you also have to think about the contract coming up for the Warriors, right? And so when all that comes into play, it's like, can they keep the core together? Because Kevin Durant will have a $31 million player option next summer. Iguodala is owed about $33 million, people, over the next two seasons. So the Warriors are going to have to get real crafty and real shifty, and I think, to keep the squad together. But honestly, why leave Golden State? I mean, that's kind of the question to me now. Why would you leave it?
Sometimes it depends on what you want. Like, you know, who knows what Kevin Durant is going to do? He could look at it and say, you know, in a year they win another championship. He wins another Finals MVP. You know, he can really look at it and say, you know what, I want to take on a new challenge at this stage of my career and, you know, figure stuff out, you know, elsewhere. So, you know, I wouldn't really be surprised, you know, if that turned out to be the case, like not necessarily in a bad way either. It's just, you know, at different stages of your career, you have different priorities and different goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always say, you know, what if this team stays together?
Right.
If you look at it, Kelce, the Shaq and Kobe Lakers then only stayed together for, you know, a certain amount of years. And
very true.
The LeBron James Miami Heat, that team only stayed together for 4 years, and they were talking about not six, not seven. You know, so I think a lot of times the shelf life on this, not just with salary caps, but, you know, league catches up to you, fatigue, mental fatigue, physical fatigue, and you may just want a new challenge. So sometimes this era, you know, these eras can be shorter than you really think. And whether it's teams breaking up or teams catching up, you know, I think it's just important sometimes that, you know, even as observers, it's just like, let's stay in the moment. Let's see what happens, because this is great theater. You know, I am still compelled to see what's going to happen, you know, after this, you know, during the season, not just after the season, but through the season, you know, as far as the drama and everything else that happens with the league. Is the best reality show on TV, not named President Trump.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much going on in the world. But, hey, I completely agree with you on that. And, you know, speaking of KD, I have to ask you this question because it comes up every single summer, Vincent, here in the DMV area. Will we ever have the Kevin Durant homecoming tour? Will he ever come back to Washington and represent PG County here at home? In your opinion?
I would, nah. Sometimes you can't go home again. But I don't think that's happening here. I like the DMV. I am one of the people who loves to visit Chocolate City, even though it ain't exactly Chocolate City.
It's
like
Oreo
it used to be.
Now.
Look. It ain't too many places that I'd rather be, honestly, than D.C. in the summertime, okay, or in the springtime, right? So I completely understand it. But there comes a lot of pressures with playing at home, not necessarily just playing with Bradley Beal and John Wall and everything else. But to me, I don't know if the Wizards have shown the competence that would, like, say to Kevin Durant, hey, we have the structure here, you know, the coaching staff, the front office, the ownership, all these things that matter, you know, to make him say, you know what, I'm going to spend, you know, my prime years in D.C. How about I just come visit y'all once a year? How about I just come kick it with y'all in summer or something? And we just keep this relationship
and call it a day. That's what it feels like. And we honestly, Vincent, cannot trust Ernie Grunfeld to do anything but that. We don't expect Kevin to come back here. So, yeah, you're right. Kevin will just come visit us at the arena. It'll be sold out. We'll say what's up to him and he'll be gone. I don't see it happening either. But I want them to hear from you because I say this all the time. So maybe they'll at least believe you because I heard it from you. I try to tell them every single summer, Vincent. But, hey, it is what it is.
Sometimes I got to hear the truth. That's all. It's all good.
And that's why I had you help me to spread it. That's all. That's all I want to do. But
I'll be the messenger for you.
See, this is why I have you on. This is why you're going to be back on. I love it.
I got
but
you.
But going to a more serious topic, Vincent, in the NBA, mental health. And I don't think it's just in the NBA. I think it's a topic we're talking about all across the country now with everything going on. But hello, shout out to my fellow Maryland Terps graduates, Terrapin basketball legend John Lucas II, who, of course, had a storied collegiate basketball career at Maryland and in the NBA. He basically came out this week and chimed in on the discussions. He was, if you remember his story, a former victim of drug and alcohol addiction. So he is no stranger to mental health problems. But I love what he said in the interview with ESPN. He said, Kevin Love is hardly alone. And you guys have to rewind back to when Kevin Love came out and talked about his issues with depression earlier in the year. The Houston Rockets assistant coach John Lucas, who of course now is a retired NBA player, basically said that he estimates more than 40% of NBA players have mental health issues, yet less than 5% of them are seeking help. Wow, this is like a heavy top issue, Vincent. I don't know how much you cover this back in Chicago, but I mean, why do you think just now? Why now is mental health all of a sudden becoming something we actually care about in sports and really look to athletes to kind of step up and admit to so we can actually try to offer them some form of help?
Well, I think to some degree, you know, I think with social media, just in general, like we could talk a lot about the negative parts about social media, but I do think it uncovers a certain veil from all of us to where, even though there's like a disconnect with social media, you know, where we stop talking to each other and we all of a sudden we just text and tweet, but there's a certain level of comfort within vulnerability that I think that we can all see each other have. If one person has a vulnerable moment and we all see it and they're comfortable in that moment, it's almost like, you know what? I'm comfortable admitting that too. Like, it's so many different ways that, you know, we look at, you know, mental health as a stigma, as something negative, as something, you know, that you got to toughen up and deal with it on your own. And quite honestly, we don't always have the tools, you know, ourselves to address those type of things. And because we normally think that we're the only one dealing with it, we keep it inside or, you know, we deal with it in our own unhealthy ways, to be completely honest with you. So when you talk about someone like DeMar DeRozan, or you talk about someone like, you know, Kevin Love or Paul Pierce, you know, we automatically assume so much that money cures all. And if you're rich, then that insulates you from any problems that you have. And I think to some degree, it only exacerbates it. Like, you can't be, you know, anything that you, money doesn't change you. Money just enhances whatever you are or whatever you're dealing with. So if you have mental health issues that go unchecked as a teenager, especially when you're talking about, you know, pressures of trying to perform and trying to get to the NBA, trying to get to college, you know, you sweep so many things under the rug in the name of trying to get there. And then once you get there, there's different pressures and stuff in itself. And, you know, life is not this isn't easy, you know, let alone mm-hmm. normal people, let alone celebrities. So I'm glad we're having a conversation. I'm glad that, you know, the door's been opened, you know, over the past couple of years. And you do have sort of these conversations in private moments with, you know, players in the locker room or when, you know, they're on the road and things like that. And you hear about some of the things that they have to deal with. And you're like, man, this dude has some real problems where basketball is the only place for him to, you know, purely express himself because nobody can bother him here, you know, to that degree. Mm. And not to say that you pity them, but you completely, you try to at least sympathize, even if you can't empathize, but you completely sympathize with some of the issues and struggles that they go through every day.
Right. And, you know, I love what you're saying. You're right. Because I think we think if you're in the celebrity lifestyle, we think everything's good. Like you said, money cures all. That's just the mindset. If you have money, all your problems are answered and all your blessings will continue to come. And no, that's not the case. And I'm glad that they're stepping up and stepping out to this because you're right. Sometimes it's hard to be vulnerable, right? When you're vulnerable, you feel like you can be attacked. I think having these athletes come and step out and say, guess what? It happens. And someone who's actually lived through that, admit to that. I think it shows it's okay and that we do want, to, as a society, we're trying to find ways to help each other. My only question, honestly, Vincent, after that is where does this conversation go? Because I think sometimes it's great, we'll start a conversation, but then it just falls and nothing happens. Now, I know this is a controversial topic, but I think this happens every time there's a school shooting. We talk about mm-hmm. what to do about guns and gun violence, and it's a conversation, but then nothing really changes or happens. And that's kind of how I feel about mental health. We'll talk about it. It's kind of a hot thing on social media right now, but I just want to know, like, what is the NBA going to do? What are sports leagues going to do? What are we as communities going to do to actually, you know, actually address this issue?
Well, I think it sort of starts, I won't say it starts with, you know, with a grassroots type of thing. And I think it all depends sometimes, like, you know, I don't know if you've had friends who've had to deal with mental health issues to some degree.
Yeah.
You know, but I certainly have. And when you see it up close and it's not just this abstract thing, you know, you completely understand the ups and downs of it. And, you know, it's a daily struggle. It's almost like, you know, someone said compares it to like being an alcoholic, where you're not just sober for X amount of days, you're sober today, and you just hope to get through the day. And I think, you know, that approach that we have, you know, as long as, you know, from the league standpoint, you know, as long as teams leave an open door, I know some teams have, you know, psychologists and things like that that can, you know, help with those issues, but as long as there's a forum to have these conversations, I think this is a situation where the conversation is so much more important than everything else, because it's not like something with guns where, you know, you're just talking about it, thoughts and prayers until the next school shooting. At least with the mental health part of it, the conversation can lead to more things, you know, behind closed doors where people can be honest and be vulnerable and have these moments. And then it can be something that's no longer just, you know, taboo within, you know, a certain community or a certain subset of a community. It can just be something that everybody can acknowledge that's there and they can deal with. And it's not be something that we all have to necessarily be like ashamed of or deal with it like in a macho way, suck it up, put some dirt on it type of thing. That's just not the life that that's not the world that we live in today.
Yeah. And this is why I'm glad times are changing. Cause I think that's how it was before. If you had mental health, no one wanted to know about it or like thought you'd get over it, like you're just on a slump or something like that. But now we see it's a real thing. You can suffer from this. It can affect your everyday life. And we see also, I think, it kind of connects us more to know you're not the only one maybe that's possibly going through that problem now that we're being so open and honest about it. And I'm glad sports leagues are kind of taking a stance on this and they're supporting the athletes that do come out on this. Now, speaking of athletes and talking about someone who's in the headlines, I have to transition to Vincent Zion Williamson, who's, I think, taken social media by storm. I mean, it's like, I feel like I can't go on Twitter anymore, Vincent, without seeing this guy's name. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous the amount of things he's already doing. Of course, he is the Duke basketball star freshman, 285 pounds. Oh my gosh. If you have not seen this guy, look at how he balls out. It's crazy. He's the next big star. He's already averaging 29.7 points and 11.3 rebounds per game on 64.5% shooting from the field. Are we getting too hyped, Vincent, for this guy, Zion Williamson? Are you believing the hype with this guy?
I mean, if you just look at it just from a purely athletic standpoint, like, I don't think that there's a way that you can, overhype it. I'm not sitting somewhere, you know, thinking that, okay, this guy is the next, you know, LeBron or the next Kevin Durant, but I do think there's a certain level, you know, of perspective that we can appreciate all this stuff in. And some of the stuff he's doing, it is amazing. The fact that, you know, because of his size, he he can do so many things on. He's so nimble, you know, on the floor. He gets off the floor so quick and everything else. And people are always wondering, you know, his highlights are just nothing but him dunking. And now you're starting to see him do other things, you know, on the floor. So it seems like little by little, he's answering questions about his, you know, about his aptitude, about, you know, what he's going to be good at. And, you know, he's not even like, we're not even into like the college basketball season. It's just sort of like, it just like sort of dipping his toe into the water. So it's more than anything, I'm pretty intrigued, you know, about, you know, how he's going to develop this year with Duke and with Coach K and everything else. But, you know, overhyped, that's, you don't figure out if a guy's overhyped until he can't fulfill the hype, because we thought LeBron James was overhyped. He managed to exceed his hype. So usually you kind of have to wait before you put that, before you place that label on someone.
That's very true, because I feel like if you want to go back to football, Lamar Jackson is kind of facing that same thing. Some people said, oh, wait, he was overhyped in college, and then he performed on primetime, and then people are like, all right, you know what? Lamar Jackson, he's got it. He's got it. He's probably the future in Baltimore. So I think we see that with Zion. But, I mean, the guy is ridiculous. As you said, I'm excited for what so far he showed us. 6'6", as I said, 285 pounds. Coach K talked about how he set a record for the vertical jump at 45 inches. I mean, his athleticism is honestly what surprises me the most. And I think he's just going to add another element. Not that college basketball isn't fun enough, and not that Duke basketball isn't good enough, but, I mean, this guy's just going to add a new dimension.
Oh, no, college basketball isn't fun. No, no, you can say it. College basketball.
It's not fun. Who cares about March Madness?
because it's so controlled by coaches, where you don't let the athletes be the athletes. So if you allow the kids to play with some freedom and everything else, it can be pretty – you know, I think it can be pretty exciting. And hopefully, you know, they let the reins loose on a guy like him, that he can get out on the open floor and do some things. Because when you're gifted and blessed in that way, like, there's no point in being restrained.
And tell me, I mean, already just what you see from him. I mean, do you think Coach K is actually going to get to keep him at all and actually develop him? Is he a one and done? I mean, what are your, like, just your guesses right now?
What do you think the answer to that is?
I know the answer, but I'm just like, Coach K might have some magic. It might surprise us all. Because I will say this, Vincent, at Maryland, Diamond Stone, to me, I was so mad. He's been a bust to me, in my honest opinion. And for me, like, just in here, and it's not just because I'm a Terp. I'm just like, I wish he would have stayed at Maryland more, because I feel like his NBA career is just, it's not going to be what it could have been, in my opinion, if he had stayed a Terp a little bit longer.
I am all for people being paid for their work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too.
So that's why I sit on, like, if you're good enough to go until they start paying college players, if you're good enough to go and get paid, then go get paid. And to some degree, because the college game is so, you know, it's so structured. Don't get me wrong. I do think there's an element of, you know, maturity, you know, off the floor and things like that, that college provides, because you're on your own for the first time and different things as far as life skills. But we're just talking about, you know, basketball and the athletic feat and, you know, the business side of it. I'm all for guys going to the league and getting paid. But I do think that there's something, you know, on the social side of going to college and adjusting to life and everything else and developing, you know, from a cognitive side there, that we don't necessarily talk about. But just from a pure basketball standpoint, I don't know if players can really develop for the NBA game, because the college game and the NBA game are so different.
And that's a good point, because I think people are asking that question all the time when you see these players fall off in the NBA. But as you said, the college game is completely different. I mean, we can go back to probably the biggest mystery still for us all, Markelle Fultz. I think everyone has questions still about this development, you know, what we thought he would be in the NBA. But I do want to bring up one point before I let you go, Vincent. You're talking about, you know, we think players should get paid, and I agree with you too. So I'm just curious what you kind of think about LeVar Ball's Junior Basketball Association. Is this kind of the way to go, do you think, for players?
I don't know if it is. I wonder if the junior basketball league that he has was just a way to showcase his two sons. You know, and that just seemed to be sort of, you know, his way of doing things. Like, I don't think LeVar Ball's master plan was that sophisticated, as some people made him out to be, like he's a genius or something like that. No, he found a way to basically run his mouth and write checks that he couldn't cash. And ESPN and a lot of the other networks picked up on it because he was so loud, and he talked Lonzo into being the second pick and everything else. But I do think that even unwillingly, he shines a light on the capitalistic nature of the NCAA and how guys are, you know, basically the things that we've known for years and decades, the things that we've been talking about, you know, from, you know, no matter who it is, you know, some of the more, you know, progressive voices, you know, in sports from a national standpoint have been talking about how players need to get paid and how basically not-for-profit NCAA is bringing in billions and billions and coaches are getting paid, you know, tens of millions of dollars and players are getting paid nothing and risking, you know, right, their futures for this. So I do think that even if you can't say LaVar Ball is the person you want leading the conversation, you can certainly use him and some of the things that he's doing to have the conversation.
I like that. But I think you're right. I don't know if it's the end all be all, but he is doing something different because I'm like you. I don't think these players should be, look at any big school and how the money they're making off of these players, and it's not right. No one can tell me an argument why it's right. So I completely agree with you on that. But yeah, I don't know if his is the right answer, but I do like at least that he's paying these young kids at least something for the hard work that they put in.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what I can agree. Vincent, you were an awesome guest. I can't believe time went so quickly.
Hey, this was fun. I figured we'd have a good time, you know. So touch on a number of things, so it was all good.
Yeah, when DMV and Detroit meet, it's only going to be good things happening. That's awesome.
Here you go. Next time you come to Detroit, let me know. So we'll make sure we take care of you.
I will make sure that – I will tell you, Detroit, that was my first time actually stepping in the city. I've been through the airport a million times, and I fell in love with Detroit. I've been blasting everyone here in the DMV about it. So I'm telling you, I'm going to have a lot more people from the DMV coming over now. So tell the tourism department to send the check straight to me.
Hey, look, put it like this. You send your people over. We'll take care of them. We'll make sure that they're given, like, the little cloak of protection and all this other type of stuff. Like, none of the people going to mess with you. Just going to show you a good time.
Nothing popping off. All right. See, we're in good hands. We are in good hands. Vincent, thank you again so much. And to everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listening with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.